You're listening to The Startup with Monique Leray, only on LA Talk Radio.
How's it going, Los Angeles? This is The Startup with Monique Leray. I'm Monique Leray. Welcome to my show. We have a jam-packed, amazing show for you today. I want to first say thank you to our sponsors, Michael Solberg Family Wines, La Casa del Camino, and, of course, Shane Hyman at Global Solutions. Thank you so much for your support. And first up, I would like to introduce Mike. Mike, come on in.
Hey, Monique, how are you?
Hey, good. How are you, Mike?
I'm awesome. Thanks.
Great. Go ahead and introduce yourself to the listeners and viewers and tell us what you're up to these days.
Well, my name is Mike Caldwell. I'm the marketing medic, and I help small and medium-sized businesses with their marketing message to win more clients and make more sales.
So, Mike, tell us a little bit about your background, how you started in this, and where you are right now with your clients and what you're looking for the future.
So my book is called Empathic Marketing. It's an international bestseller, but the empathy actually started about 20 years ago when I worked as a firefighter paramedic. And one of the things that separated me from a lot of the other paramedics was the empathy I showed for my patients. So many medics, they focus more on like the physical ailment as opposed to the emotional side. Mm. And quite often the patients are just scared. And if you don't understand that, then the call doesn't go the way it should.
Yeah.
And then, so I was a firefighter paramedic for 12 years. I fell off a cliff. I broke my arm and I broke my leg and I broke my back. And it was at that time I'm like, you know what? I don't think I want to be a paramedic anymore. I want to be an entrepreneur. And that got me on the road to this whole marketing game.
Wow. 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 It's funny how things along your path, you know, I could say pebbles along the road, you start collecting them and you've got this beautiful basket of just experiences and it brings you here. So LA Fire and Rescue is a new show on Peacock. And one of my best friends is the fire captain on there, Sheila Kelleher. And so I hear all kinds of stories. Can you share something that was a moment where you said, here's a pivotal moment in my career, in my firefighting paramedic career, and now I want to go in a different direction?
Well, the reason I went in a different direction is because I was the supervisor for an air ambulance, a helicopter base. And okay. So as much as I love being a paramedic and, you know, flying into the scene and saving somebody's life and flying away, you know, like a superhero, it was the stress of the politics that got to me.
Right.
And I just didn't like all the management stuff that I had to do, all the back and forth. And also, I'm a morning person. I'm a day person. I'm not a night person. So anytime after like 11 p.m., my body just physically aches. And
yeah.
So, you know, as I entered my 30s, I was like, you know what, I need to look at something else. And I just like the excitement of you know, being my own boss and being an entrepreneur.
Wonderful. And I think you do. It's true. You got to listen to your body and it leads you where you need to go. I mean, I'm 45 now. I'm totally listening to you get new things. You're like, what's going on? But I'm excited for your book. So can you tell us what the reader can expect without giving it away? What can they expect when they crack open your foreword and your book?
Well, it's not a typical marketing book in that it's very story-based. And so a lot of it does go back to my paramedic days. Like one of my favorite paramedic stories was, you know, there was two calls that were exactly the same calls in the middle of the night. It was both chest pain related. And the first gentleman was like, oh, my pain's like 10 out of 10, you know, for chest pain. And when you hear that, you're like, oh, 10 out of 10, this is serious.
Right.
But I was attending, my partner was driving. I told my partner we're going to transport this patient code 3 out of 4, which meant, you know, urgent, but not emergent. Okay. Mm. And he's like, okay. And so that's what we did. We went to the hospital, but that was that. And then a couple hours later, another call came and it was a woman. And we asked, what's your pain out of 10? She's like, it's like a 3 or a 4 out of 10. And I told my partner, we're going to transport her code 4, like lights and sirens, you know, the whole kabang. Right. And that's what we did. Because the reason is they were saying one thing, but their eyes were telling me something else. And so the first patient, he was, you know, kind of making sure his mail was in place. And the other woman, you could just tell she had that like sort of fear of death in her eyes.
Yeah.
And sure enough, when we did our paperwork and we're coming back through the emergency department, like all hands were on deck for that woman. And meanwhile, the guy was like drinking an orange juice sitting up in his bed.
Well, yeah, you know, and I think that you're really tapping into something there, and I'm sure you're applying this to your marketing avenue now with your clients. It's like you hear what they're saying and you're getting their needs. You're doing that, you know, discovery meeting with them, but then you're looking at what it is, right? You're looking into their eyes, so to speak. Yeah, so yeah. I'm sure you're applying like real tangible infield practices that you've learned from the paramedic life.
Yeah. And so I'm sorry, we kind of got off track with the paramedic stuff, but yeah, exactly. With empathic marketing, there's two things that are the basis of it. And that's having an experiential understanding of their journey and also an emotional understanding. And with the emotional understanding, I look at what I call the four D's of transformation delivery. So in their short term, like what are their difficulties now and what desires do they have to, you know, solve it like today or this week? But you also want to look at long term for what are their biggest dreads and dreams. And that's where all of your copy comes from. It's like diving into those four D's of transformation delivery.
I can't wait. So you guys, if you're listening, Mike just launched a book. He gave you a little teaser. Where can people pick up the book, Mike? You know, it's beautiful outside. You can sit on the beach and probably crack that open and finish it soon this summer.
And it is. It's a fun book to read. Most people say they read it like in a weekend because they don't want to put it down. It's a marketing book, but it's not dry. And for your readers, I will give it to them for free. They just have to pay for the shipping.
Wow, you guys, this is a first time, the Startup with Monique Larray exclusive here with Mike Caldwell. Mike, that is amazing. Thank you. So very generous. You guys, if you want one of Mike's books, I want you to jump into the chat, jump into the comments, and just say, I want one, and we'll DM you. We'll get your information, and we'll, you know, we'll cover that. We'll get that postage out. Mike, where can people follow you and support? And even if they did want to gift a book, maybe go ahead and get a Christmas stocking stuffer in July. Where can they find you?
My main website is themarketingmedic.ca because I'm in Canada. But for the book offer, it's I have a podcast of my own. It's on that site. It's because businessispersonal.com.
Wonderful tie-in. I'm loving the, you know, the empathetic piece. I'm loving the name of your brand. Well done on tying both of those in. And guys, if you can trust anyone, you can trust a medic, right? I mean,
I hope so. And a Canadian on top.
And a Canadian. You guys are always so nice and smiley. And
and my wife's name is Monique. So I've got the whole package.
I love that. Your wife sounds lovely already. All right, you guys, go ahead and say the name one more time and give us your tagline on the book.
Yeah, it's to get the free book, you just pay for the shipping. It's becausebusinessispersonal.com. And empathic marketing is 5 ways to develop your new empathic superpower to win more clients and make more sales.
Mike, thank you so much for being here today. We're going to have you back and get an update on your book. But I'll definitely be getting my copy here real soon, right? We got to talk to your people.
I'll have my people talk to your people.
That sounds good. Have a beautiful rest of your weekend and have fun, doggies.
All right. Thanks, Monique.
Thanks, Mike. All right, guys, we're jumping right in. We have our next guest. Go ahead, Sam, and let's see who we've got next. All right, Andrew. How's it going, Andrew?
Hey, Monique. How are you doing? It's great to be here.
Oh, my gosh. It's a pleasure to have you. Thank you so much for making time on the weekend.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So why don't you go ahead and properly introduce yourself to the listeners and the viewers and tell them who you are.
Sure. My name is Andrew Meadows, and I represent an international investor. And I'm here to talk to your audience about a cautionary investment tale. I know you have your audience is very interested in business and investing, and we're hoping that what happened to my client does not happen to them. And he was marketed a product, an investment product, by a bank known as Afrasia Bank. And they are located on an island in the Indian Ocean, Mauritius, which is well known for its boutique investment banks. Mm-hmm. This product was marketed as a low risk way to invest your capital. Minimum returns of capital plus 8%, and it was capped at your capital plus 28%. And, you know, after much discussion, my client decided to invest. And 5 years later, when the funds matured, he had lost a significant amount of money and now he cannot even get it, what's remaining of his capital back. So we're going public with this story. We want people to know that if they are considering investing with Aphrasia or really any investment firm, that they need to be careful and not fall for hollow marketing pitches.
Wow. I'm really glad that you're on the show. I've never had anyone on the show as a bank critic. I think that we have to, you know, put things out there and be an avenue, since we are, you know, LA Talk Radio and we are a .com, so we can kind of go in different spaces and really shine some light in different areas. Tell me how you first discovered. I know that you said that it was supposed to mature in 5. So let's say that the audience isn't quite sure how an investment like this is supposed to go. When do you find out before it's too late? When can you, if you can, save yourself?
Well, you know, each investment has a maturity date. And with the promises, this particular product was the Capital Protected Eurobank Booster. My client, as many of your audience probably are, is privy to certain investment opportunities. So the maturity date was earlier this year in 2023, early 2023. And again, it lost a significant amount of money. That product was tied to the Eurostox Bank Index, is a well-known European bank index. And, you know, the loss of the unrealized investment was one thing, but the second part of this is that my client cannot get his original capital back. Wow. And he was considering, you know, they did a profile on him actually and found that he was a very conservative investor and offered this capital protected product, which is exactly what it is, capital protected. And guaranteed. In fact, we have emails back and forth that, you know, you aren't going to take part in any risk for this product. So the sort of the frustration with my client and why we're going public is he can't get his original money back. And the bank executives have gone back and forth with him via email and have promised that original investment back, that original capital, which was about 5 million British pounds, which is $6.5 million. So we're talking about a significant amount of money here. Right. And this is frustrating. So yeah, we're considering legal remedies. Clearly, we're going public with it, which is one of our avenues. We'd like the Financial Services Commission, which is the bank regulating entity in Mauritius, to look into it. The Bank of Mauritius, which is the central bank in that island nation, could look into it. We're at a point where, you know, normally these things aren't public, but the frustration level is to a point where we decided to take it public. And quite frankly, Monique, the story's got some legs. We're getting pickup. I think that your production crew and yourself were forward seeing enough to have us on the show. So it's picking up steam, and I think people are interested in this.
I agree. I like to kind of push against the machine, if you will. Freelance producer, it's in my blood. And I really like seeing people stand up for themselves. People work hard and people are fed up with things that aren't working for them. And outright, you know, theft and in the system is just not going to work for people anymore. I think after coming out of the pandemic, we're really seeing a shift in humanity and we want things that are fair. And you're no different in the banking industry.
No, absolutely. And, you know, whether it's somebody investing in an offshore bank, a boutique bank, or whether it's somebody's retirement account, I mean, this hits large investors to small investors to medium investors. We're asking for clear, concise, and honest marketing materials and to live up to what you promise. You know, a lot of large corporations, Hertz, Glencore, Macy's, Commerce Bank, they backed this investment. They were the underlyings, they were the guarantors. And we feel that our investors' money is being sacrificed in order to protect these companies that back this investment. So there's a lot going on and a lot will emerge, especially if some of these regulatory authorities look at it. But again, I think that your audience, being a business business focused audience, would be interested in this.
Can you identify, maybe without saying any other names, or I'm sure that your client's not the only person that was victimized here, but have you been able to identify more victims?
Yeah, I wouldn't want to name names, but,
no.
But you know, people tend to talk, and especially in the quick communication world that we live in, we are getting scattered reports of similar instances with Aphrasia Bank. So, you know, we're not happy with them. Other people aren't happy with them. They tout on their website several awards that they have won. And we're just asking them to live up to the integrity that they profess to have. And again, two things going on here: the investment that wasn't realized and the returns that weren't realized, and then the capital money, what's remaining. My client lost 20% of his original capital.
Wow.
So 20%, but really what we're saying is it's 100%, because he hasn't gotten any money back.
Wow.
So he lost all of his money at this point. So again, this is going to evolve with time, and we just want Aphrasia Bank to do the right thing here.
This is a beautiful example, everybody, of I'd say a classy business person doing something. You know, this is a really good conflict resolution tool that you're using, you and your client, in my view. Before you're going to the legal point, you're calling up on their honor. You're using the media in a way to say, hey, we don't want to do this. We don't want to have that footprint of legal. We will go there, but let's put something in place where we can come and have a meeting of the minds and get this together. And I really respect your path.
Absolutely. And we have an email trail where it was indicated that my client was going to receive his capital back. That transfer was put on hold for some reason. We can't, all communication is shut down. So again, the frustration level is high.
Sure.
And right now, again, I think there's some interest in the business community. And as this story grows, I think you're going to see more investors come out and say, you know, that happened to me, and maybe have a little bit more cover or, you know, fortitude to tell the story of what happened to them as well.
So I think a couple things are going to happen here, guys. If you've ever thought of investing in this bank or any of the conglomerate partners that Andrew mentioned, take heed on this. We're going to look into this. Andrew, I would really love for you to drop into our personal chat here your email, or phone number. I think we can do something together. I'm doing documentaries with many different people, including George Floyd's family. And so I think that maybe we can explore a documentary to get some awareness. I think nowadays, you know, that's my background. I don't know if you know that, but I have 2 Emmys for my work as a TV producer. And now shedding light on any topic, if you look at, you know, Epstein and R. Kelly and, you know, all the other ones, once you shed a little light in dark corners, people start to step up and do the right thing.
Absolutely. And I have read your bio, your impressive bio. And you know, we some of the reporters that have picked this story up have called some of the underlings and the guarantors and have not been able to get them for comment. So again, that just adds to the frustration level. But it's a cautionary tale. And investing is investing. But all we want is a level playing field with honest marketing and do what you say you're going to do, basically.
Get in touch with me before you go. Drop your number here or email, and let's chat after the show. I have an idea for you, and I think we're going to continue this. Thank you for sharing your story.
Great, Monique. You have a good night. Thank you.
You too, Andrew. Thank you. All right, guys. Next up, we have Ray. Ray, are you standing by?
I am.
Hey, Ray. Okay, so good. We got Hogwash and Rhinestones in the house. Ray, go ahead and
introduce
yourself. We're going to lighten up the mood a little and switch over to some entrepreneurial goodies in the apparel business. Tell us who you are.
I'm Ray Finn, and I'm from Holliston, Massachusetts. And I am the owner and designer at Hogwash and Rhinestones.
So great. Oh, yep. So great to see. Go ahead, Ray.
No, go ahead.
It's great to see you. And thank you so much for being here. So guys, I want you guys to really just dive into this and have fun. Ray, give us your backstory. Cause I think that what you're doing with clothes and with Hogwash and Rhinestones is really unique and fun. So give us your discovery story on the brand.
Well, it actually started as just a t-shirt company, and being out on the East Coast and not even near Nashville, but I started a t-shirt company that was like a Western graphics company.
Yeah.
And then in addition to that, I started kind of gussying up my own clothes, like adding rhinestones and adding studs and just playing around with paint and so it started to catch on, and then people would be like, hey, where'd you get that? You know, I want something like that. So it just kind of tumbled into even more than t-shirts, you know, it came like the jeans and jean jackets. And it just was something about doing unique pieces that really spoke to me, you know, because we're all so unique. And it's like, you know, in the department stores, you go in and it's like 8 colors of the same thing. So it's like, I like the fact that you can stand out and be different.
And I really love that you leaned into your creativity and you weren't at the top of it defining, okay, it's got to fit in this box. It's got to be like this. You just let yourself kind of go with the creative flow. And that's why your brand should be here in Laguna. I mean, you know, there's art here.
Oh, I'm a big fan of coloring outside the lines. You know, I've never been, you know, I don't want to be in a box. I don't want to be that way. So, and I feel like a lot of shy people, like if they can't express themselves like through their voice, you know, maybe use their voice, they can shine with their clothing. You know, your fashion could tell a whole story about you and you don't even have to say a word. So it's kind of like, it's for the shy people, even though it stands out, but it speaks volumes. And that's what I love, is like giving like a simple discarded piece that somebody didn't want or a pair of jeans and giving it volume, you know, tell a story.
Beautifully put. And I think, you know, in the pandemic, I discovered that I'm actually an introverted extrovert, which now looking back, that makes sense. I mean, although I wanted to be around people, I was just fine being by myself. And, you know, you said something about shy people that could be translated through, you know, art. And so you've got something behind you. I see that you've got your rack.
I have some stuff back
here. Yeah. Can you grab some pieces and maybe share with us what you got going on over there?
Let me see. I'm like the worst when it comes to.
No, so this is a startup
jacket that I have here.
That's really nice.
Yeah, this is and then on the front. So it's really about you being unique, you know.
Yes.
Let me just see.
What's the story behind that jacket with the black? Is it a Catholic cross or like an Irish?
It's just a rock and roll. Like
rock and roll?
Rock and roll.
Nice.
Yeah. So it's you don't have to say a word. You know what I mean? Like if you wear something like that, you don't have to say much. Besides like, oh yeah, you're a rock star.
So if you are in the music business, everybody, I know some people are listening. They're obviously in the TV business. That's my background. And of course, film. Come and reach out to Hogwash and Rhinestones for your custom pieces. It looks like no two items are the same, right? Because you're renewing and recycling?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. And that's another piece. You know, that's just a whole nother part of it, is like the discarded, you know, landfills and things like that with the clothing that you stick in those bins. You never know where it goes. Yeah. So it's like, it's just nice to give a second time around, you know, it's like a second chance. And just, you know, to put it into the clothing. It's just, they're made with a lot of love and just with a lot of purpose, you know, to be green. And slow fashion is in.
Slow fashion is in. I love that. So where do you see Hogwash and Rhinestones in the next like year or two? Where are you looking to be? What spaces are you looking to occupy?
Definitely Nashville and Austin, you know, Texas, you know, Nashville, Texas area. and of course LA.
Come on, we got rocksters out here too. We need some we need some rhinestones and hogwash.
I want to spread it. Like, it's taken a long time. This is my 12th year, and finally, wow. You know, I've got some wheels moving, and it feels really good. But yeah, definitely want to expand and you know, just be in that place where I go somewhere or see a picture in a magazine or I see something that is like, oh, they're wearing hogwash. That's what I thought.
I don't know why I got this flash. I'm like, I could see you in like the Hard Rock in Vegas for sure. Someone in there could wear that, you know, well, the Hard Rock's gone. I take that back. I guess it's a new hotel now, but Vegas, I could see it.
Yeah. I would love like, see that, that kind of opportunity just to have it like even being commissioned by like the Hard Rock or a music venue and do like just a series of custom stuff for them, like I would love that.
You should make a list. You probably already know this, guys, on the startup. You know, I come up with ideas when we have people on. That's why we're the startup, and we put good karma out there for ideas. But I think, Ray, what if you made a list of some of the casino shows, Planet Hollywood, Caesars, and see who's on their roster and maybe send them some samples, maybe send them a scarf or a hat, something that doesn't kill your budget, maybe a jacket. I mean,
okay, yeah.
Go for that.
Definitely. Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's a great idea.
Thank you. I think that, you know, guys, as entrepreneurs, we want to just identify where we're going and just go for it. You know, if you have a few, you know, extra bucks to give people a little taste of what you're doing. And so, Ray, for the people who are looking to get into the apparel business, those shyer people, those, you know, quieter creatives, give us a little bit about your background besides how you discovered the company, but maybe just the steps in how you got here, right? Like putting the business into place. If someone were looking to get into the apparel business, what are the first three things that you would suggest they do to cover themselves and their property and their ideas?
Yeah, the idea is that definitely copyright. Like if you have a brand and a logo, you know, that's where you should start, is like copywriting, any kind of taglines that you have that you want to protect. That's the place to start. I mean, and sketching, and then just reaching out to the right people, find a mentor, really right. Just kind of finding a mentor and just like clothing is not an easy business to make it in, like, manufacturing and things like that. But yeah. If you can make yourself, your brand stand out, like, I think that too is identifying like a niche or somewhere that you can be helpful at the same time as a designer. You know, like, are you fixing a problem? You know, it's like, all right, there's a lot of waste. So I started upcycling. So that was like kind of like fixing a problem. But I think that finding a mentor and just doing your research, and what is there a lack of, you know, it's like any entrepreneur, like any type of startup business, like, are you solving a problem? Are you adding a service that there's a problem?
Adding value. Yes, absolutely. And I love that you touched on the copyright piece. We always say here to make sure you get your trademark and your copyright and all that lined up before you buy a website. You know, you want to put the first steps in place. And, you know, I had another idea for you, Ray. You got me inspired, girlfriend, that jacket. I like your beads on your collar. Your beaded collar. Yes. Yes, that's hot.
And I'm all into hardware. I love
hardware. I'd wear that. I would totally
wear it in rhinestones. Yep.
Yes. Hogwash, baby. So, you know, I think because I got invited to a movie next weekend for Barbie, and, you know, they're going all out with the Barbie. I got my pink wig. I got my outfit. I'm trying to get all, but I'm thinking for your brand, wouldn't it be cool to get a list of the, say, even if you just picked one season, right? So summer, right? Let's say you got your list of blockbusters that are going to be released. Maybe you did some, you know, re-upping on those films. So like if you found those shirts, like you did Barbie and you blinged out Barbie, you know, you did it seasonally by the movies.
Okay. You know, what's so funny today? I had a group of ladies come into the studio today, and I actually have 3 Barbie jackets that I have to have for the premiere. They commissioned me to make them 3 Barbie jackets and a pair of Barbie bell bottoms to have for it. the premiere on Saturday.
There you go. Great minds think alike. She's on it, you guys. I love that. So are you available for people if they have an anniversary coming up or a themed event to be commissioned?
Yep, absolutely.
Where can they find you, Ray?
Okay, so you can my website, www.hogwashandrhinestones.com. We're on Instagram and Facebook. I tend to get a lot of messages through there more than the website. Or just give me a call.
Wonderful. Well, I'm excited. And we're working on, with your people, we're working on getting some stuff here in the Southern California, LA Laguna area. So we're gonna make that happen.
I think I need to make you something.
I would love that.
Yeah,
I would love that. Well, right now I'm in the red theme. I got a little red sports car, so I'm in red.
All
and
right.
Yes, I like the Roaring Twenties. So if that gives you any vibe about me, a little Betty Page or Dorothy Dandridge or whatever. All right, you guys. Ray, thank you for the creative inspiration today. I feel your vibe from the screen and much continued success. I'm excited to see what you do next.
Thank you so much for having me. Yeah,
it's a pleasure.
Connect again, for sure.
All right, my dear. Have a good weekend.
All right, you too.
Thank you. All right, guys. That was Ray from Hogwash and Rhinestones. If you have, look at my hair, guys. Ooh, what do we do? We gotta do it this way. if you've got an event or you are looking for some custom pieces, check them out. Okay. We have one more guest here in a little bit, but I'm going to go ahead and plug my new project, guys. As you probably have seen on social media, I have been working on a casting journey this week. We are looking for single men, okay, 6 feet and above, 30 years old to 40. You know, preferably never married, no kids. So maybe he's a successful person in travel and business and in health and hobbies, but perhaps he hasn't been so successful in love. And that's a lot of people's story, a lot of entrepreneurs, you know, here at the startup, we deal with that. So this is what it's called. It's called lovesearchtv.com. Okay. What you need to know is that this show is going to be on one of the four major networks. What are the four major networks? You guys know what they are. So it'll be on one of those networks. It'll be kind of similar to a lot of the dating shows you've seen out there, but it's going to have a twist. And so if you know anyone that's single, that is 6 foot tall and above, 30 to 40, looking for love or open to exploring on a dating show, you know, the network is looking for them like yesterday. So guys, go to lovesearchtv.com, submit your application. I'm going to have a QR code on my socials later. LoveSearchTV.com. We're now casting single men all over the U.S., okay, top to bottom. So you could be in New York. You could be in L.A. You could be in Alaska. You could be in Puerto Rico. You could be in Miami, Florida. You could be anywhere. We would love to meet you. Go submit your application and make sure you write on your application. You can select who sent you. Go ahead and select Alicia, which is one of my coworkers. If you don't see my name, Monique, just select that you found us through Alicia, okay? So again, go to lovesearchtv.com. If you are single, 30 to 40, 6 feet tall and above, you're the dream boat. You've got it going on business-wise. You've already figured it out business-wise. You're successful. You've traveled, but maybe you are needing some assistance in love. We can help you with that. All right, guys, I want to give you an update on the Pandemic Project documentary. I think we're going to go ahead and, you know, do something unique for the first of the three. You guys, you know, that's a docu-trilogy. So as the first film, I'll have an announcement really soon, probably in the next couple weeks, if not earlier. So stick around for that. And yeah, thank you so much for sticking out the journey with that film. I mean, it's been quite the journey. I know, Sam, you stuck it out with me. Right, Sam? Remember when I was on the tarmac and I was leaving Turkey and I was supposed to be on the air? I never miss my shows. But that, yeah, right? It was like 1 hour difference from where I was going to where I was coming from. And I missed the mark that day. But Sam granted me some grace. Guys, also, let me plug the station. We're growing. We're streaming live. Sam is kicking some ass. We are streaming live on Twitter now, on YouTube. Of course, we're on Facebook. And now we're on LinkedIn, which is great for my show because that's where a lot of the business people are. And thank you so much, Sam, for constantly looking for ways to grow the brand and having me here. I also want to remind you guys, in a little less than 2 months' time, we're going to be celebrating my fourth year. Oh, my God. Four years on the startup. I cannot believe it that 4 years ago we started this little show. And we're starting to grow it and get more diverse guests and just casting a wider net for you guys. So hopefully you're growing with us and hopefully your brand is growing. And if you're just starting out, we love – go look in the archives. You can look – you can find us on YouTube under Latchkey Kid Films. That's my distribution hub. And Cap Aquarius Media is the media company, my media company that produces this. And of course, our distribution channel is LA Talk Radio, our distribution arm, excuse me. And yeah, but guys, also follow LA Talk Radio on all your socials, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn. Just get into it. And you can follow me, my personal page, at Monique Lorray Stinson. That's at Monique Lorray. And then just add Stinson, S-T-I-N-S-O-N, like the beach. You can follow us at The Startup with Monique Lorray on Instagram. And you can also follow me on Twitter. And I'm on, well, we just heard about Threads. So I need to get a page on Threads. Sam, are we moving to Threads? Have you heard of Threads? Let's see what Sam says. He types to me during the show, guys. Yeah, so everybody's on Threads now. How do you guys like it? Yeah, he probably will. We probably will thread to Threads. All right, very good. So there's just so much going on, guys. There's so much going on. Got a lot of good stuff. Let's see what else we have. Oh, we have the Emmys coming up in the fall in September. If you guys are a brand, a startup, you're looking to place in the swag bags, you want to be a part of that, you can email us capaquariusmedia@gmail.com, or you can email me at the startup with Monique Lorray at gmail.com. That's a long email. But yeah, we would love to have you. You'll get some celebrity and influencer photos and tags and visibility for your brand. So if that's something that you are looking to garner, we can help you with that. I think we have another guest, Sam, coming. I'm really kind of excited about it because I've been sampling the goods. I'm not a sweets person at all, but I'm telling you, these cookies by Carolyn Haler, Mighty-licious. Oh my goodness. So if you are looking for something gluten-free, I have a friend, Jen, that's gluten-free. If you're looking for something, I guess they would just say it's pretty much kosher. So it's gluten-free and handmade. There's something else pretty fabulous about it. I believe it's also vegan. Let's see. Allergen-free. Oh, my goodness. Gluten-free. All right. Oh, speaking of which, here we go. Let's bring Carolyn in. Carolyn, how's it going? I was dipping my hand in the cookie jar.
Good, how are you doing?
Good to see you. Thank you for logging in. And I was just kind of giving them a preview for our last but not least Mighty-licious founder. Why don't you introduce yourself and tell us who you are?
Sure. My name is Carolyn Haler. I am the founder and CEO of Mighty-licious Inc. We make gluten-free and some vegan and better for you cookies.
Wonderful. And I was prepping the audience, Carolyn, that I'm a salty person. I like salt, but these cookies are delicious. And as you can see, I've broken into the bag. Tell us about your founding story. Tell us a little bit more about your brand.
Sure. I was diagnosed with celiac disease in 2012. Prior to that, I was in my early 30s at that point. And prior to that, I had been eating everything, had studied abroad in Italy, had lived in Switzerland, eaten all the bread and the croissants and the pasta, and lived a full gluten lifestyle. And was diagnosed in 2012. My health had deteriorated very rapidly within 12 months and started living gluten-free. In 2012, there really wasn't too much competition on the market. My life was basically resigned to a few, like the the end cap in a grocery store, if you will. There was Char, there was Glutino, those Udi's had just been launched at that point, or Udi's was gaining traction. So there was about three brands you could choose from, but not too much product innovation. Flash forward to 2017, I was working in finance, and there was a lot more products on the market, but not many that, it didn't feel as if the products were new and different. They just felt like there's new products with new brand names and new packaging, but then once you opened the packaging, it was the same old thing. I understand now, having been manufacturing for over 5 years, why that is and why it is so hard to get innovation in the industry. But at that point, I was just like, you know what? I'm going to make a gluten-free cookie that tastes good. And that was my mission. I didn't want to make something, like, there's a lot of better for you products out there that are free from everything. I wanted something that tasted delicious, that I actually wanted to eat. And like, if I'm going to eat a cookie, I want it to be a cookie.
Right.
I don't want it to be a
cookie. You would enjoy that.
I need a salad and I'll have some broccoli. That's health food. Cookies are not health food and they shouldn't be a part of that category. You can make a cookie better for you. You can feel good about what the cookie is made from, but a cookie is essentially fat, a sugar, and a flour. It doesn't matter. And it's always those things, even if the sugar is, you know, coconut palm sugar or applesauce, it's still sugar.
Yeah.
And so I just went on a mission to create a good gluten-free cookie. And the cookie you're actually holding is brown butter chocolate chip. That's the first cookie I ever created. It is my personal favorite. And you hit on it. I am a salty person. When I have a sweet treat, I want something that's balanced. I want something that's sweet, but salty, a little bit savory. So you get, you know, you want to eat more of it. Often also gluten-free products, because they're lacking, they have to lack a lot of things. They're also lacking in complexity. Mm. They're often just very sweet and very bland. And I wanted to create a flavor profile with my cookies that were a little more sophisticated. The product still is palatable for young people, but it's not, it's also palatable for parents and adults. And there's a very sophisticated, nuanced range of cookies and flavors that anyone of any age can enjoy and eat.
You've done really well with it because, guys, it's like more, it's still moist. It's gooey and moist. And she shipped this from the East Coast, guys. Yeah, I'm in California. And
yeah.
Those cookies, I bought it 2 weeks ago. It's still delicious.
I mean, I'm very involved with my manufacturing process. I am always there. I am quality control. And I know when those were baked, it was, you know, maybe not January. They're probably baked in May. So they're at least 3 months old. We have worked really hard to do a soft baked cookie. So it's as fresh baked as we can possibly get to you, being a shelf stable product, which is no small feat, because the supply chain is 9 months. So you have to create a product that is gluten-free, preservative-free, all natural, in some cases vegan, and have it be on the product on the shelf for 9 months, which explains why there's a lot of lacking in a lot of better for you products, is because when they were baked, they probably tasted great.
Yeah.
It was 9 to 12 months ago. So we've worked really hard at creating a product that is shelf stable, that will stay soft baked, that will maintain the flavor and the experience that you really want from a cookie. It was really important to me that I create a product that is not gritty or grainy and doesn't have any aftertaste. It just is a neutral flavor. And that secret is in our rice flour. What most people don't know is that rice flour, even at the commercial scale, because I buy truckloads of it, is made for cooking. So it's made for thickening sauces. It's made for making crust for chicken nuggets, things like that. It's not made for baking. Baking is a chemistry and it's very sensitive. And what that means is when you buy rice flour at the store, at the retail store, even when I buy it commercially, it's milled to a particle size that is rather large for baking. When you feel, like if you put your fingers in wheat flour, it feels soft and silky and delicate. When you put your fingers in rice flour that you buy at the grocery store, it feels like sand. Fine sand, really fine sand, but it still, you could feel each grain, each granular. And that is not fine enough for baking because a cookie only bakes for 8 to 12 minutes. It has to absorb all the moisture in a very short amount of time. It's not a cake, which will bake for 45 minutes. So the particles of the flour have to be small enough that they can actually absorb the moisture in the cookie in 8 minutes or less. Wow. And so we work directly with our mills to make sure that our flour is ground to a particle size that is appropriate for baking. And that is what really is the difference in my cookies. I mean, there's a lot of other things we do with great ingredients, and our methods and our processes are all very different, and things that we created and innovated with for our cookies. But it's really the care and the lengths I've gone to secure rice flour, and that will work for baking. And you can feel it. You can taste it. When you bake it in the cookie, it just feels like a cookie. It doesn't feel grainy or gritty. It doesn't feel chalky. Often the products will be chalky. What having the appropriate rice flour has done allows us to not use ingredients like amaranth flour, garbanzo bean flour, sorghum flour. These are three flours. Sometimes you'll find all three of these flours in gluten-free baked goods. And they are used because they have a higher protein content, which means they're closer to wheat in the way that they bake. However, they taste bad. They have a weird aftertaste. They have a chalky texture often. I don't know if you've ever experienced that chalky texture when you're eating a gluten-free product.
Yeah. Yeah.
They have, or they just feel weird. And by not using those flours in my cookies, there is no weird gritty flavor taste from the rice flour. So yeah. We have the nice rice flour. We also don't have any chalky texture, and we don't have any weird aftertaste.
Wow. It's true, guys. As I've been, she sent me a couple of them, and I got to be honest, I ate the sugar cookie one first. I tore that thing up fast, Carolyn. And you know what? How long did it take when you were diagnosed to actually getting your first batch for sampling, would you say?
Well, I was diagnosed in 2012. I didn't get fed up with the gluten-free market till 2017. So it was 5 years before I was like, you know what? There was literally a moment. I was shopping all day and I hadn't eaten. And I was standing in line and there was like 40 people in front of me. It was during the holidays. And I'm starving. So I grab a bag of gluten-free cookies off the shelf. And I open it and I eat it there. And the cookie was so gross that I literally put it back in the bag. And I was like, do you think I could just like put this back on the shelf? Because the cookies are like $10. I did. And I bought them and I threw them out before I even left the store. And that was the moment that I was like, you know what?
Yeah.
Something has to be done here. This has to be better. That was in November when I sort of had that moment. And I was still working full time in finance. So I sort of started thinking about recipes.
2017.
That was November of 2016. I created and incorporated in April of 2017.
Okay.
And then I was accepted into Whole Foods by July.
So guys, listen, this is the epitome of, I see a need in the market. Especially if you're passionate about it, it's something you're putting in your mouth. But this is, Carolyn, you're the epitome of like high standard meats. I'm going to fill the market with something that I would feed my family, myself. Exactly. Now she made it. These are all her places, ladies and gentlemen. Whole Foods within a year, Costco, Amazon, Giant, Ralph's, I mean, Fairway,
Walmart.
I mean, the list goes on and on. King's, Gristel's. I mean, congratulations, because I see and taste and feel, and now speaking to you, I can see the quality. And by the way, everybody, in case you're calorie counting, only 180 calories per every two cookies.
And so there you go. Are a normal size cookie. So it's the same size as the cookie on the front of the package. It's a size of a cookie. Like if you were to bake at home, this is the size cookie that would come out of your oven. A lot of my competitors, the cookie's about the size smaller than a quarter.
Okay.
Which is, and you get like 9 of them in a package.
Yeah.
Quarter size cookies in a package. And they're like, only 9 grams of sugar, 5 grams of sugar. I'm like, yeah, but it's only 8 grams of cookie. So like.
Well, guys, grab them today. Carolyn, you can see her at mydelicious.com. Vegan, female owned, LGBTQ friendly, clean, non-GMO, kosher. She checks all the boxes if you're looking to secure a beautiful cookie that respects your health needs. Thank you for being with us, Carolyn. I'm excited to see where you go next.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been amazing.
My pleasure. All right, guys. What will you start up today? I will see you next weekend. Ciao.
You're listening to The Startup with Monique Leray, only on LA Talk Radio.